Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, November 5th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 66, and we're going to unpack paragraph 2 today that begins with, If We Were to Live, and ends with, These things are poison. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Don B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K., and reading this text today in support is Shannon M. and Kara L. Wendy B. is going to get the information about newcomers and sponsors today, so listen for her. And then Reggie O. is going to wrap us up with some fantastic announcements today. Thank you all for your service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, that would be for Monday, November 4th, 2019. That share ID is 13613, 13,613 for the 10 a.m. meeting. And then today's 7 a.m. meeting, that would be for Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. That share ID is 13618, 13,618. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Don B. to please read the 12 steps. Don, R1, please.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Don B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K. from Kansas City, and these are our 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert it from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass, and have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And make note that this is a star 1 function on your phone keypad, please, only. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 66, down on paragraph 2, which begins with, if we were to live, and then ends with, these things are poison. And I would like to open up this discussion today by inviting Shannon M. to read that paragraph and then comment her experience, strength, and hope. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. And I had a great example when I was getting ready to share on here, because my daughter threw her sensory bin full of popcorn kernels and like beans all over the living room. Regardless of her doing that, I have to be free of anger. I don't get that luxury, which I don't really find it a luxury to be angry anyway, but I don't get that luxury. So immediately following this meeting, I get to go and do a 10 step so that I don't allow that anger to build up, and that it allows me to see my part of being mainly dishonest, thinking that a 2-year-old can do that unsupervised. So that's my bad. But I don't get to be angry about things anymore. And really, truth be told, I don't want to be angry about things anymore, because I want the freedom of not having that. And I know that if I do get that way, I immediately need to do a 10 step. I have to. If I don't, it builds up, and then the next, you know, food's going to look good. I'm not going to, why bother being abstinent and recovered if I'm just living in my own torturous brain, you know? So I just, that's why I love this program, because I just, I used to be a really angry person, and you could hear it in my voice. I was just very sarcastic and mean and not really fun to be around. But throughout this program, you know, I don't have anger in my voice anymore. And I've had people tell me that, you know, Shannon, you sound a lot different. Your voice is different. And it's because I don't have that bitter, just hatred and anger for like everything around me. And my life is so much more peaceful. And like, do I get angry? Of course. Like, did I get a little angry just now? Like, I was pretty frustrated. Yeah, I was. I mean, there's popcorn kernels all over my entire living room floor. But is it the end of the world? Do I need to eat over it? No, you know, I don't need to do those things. So I'm just grateful that I have the tools of this program so that I don't allow something like that to be the reason why I go and pick up food. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Shannon M. So let's get started sharing on that paragraph. Paragraph 2, page 66 of our big book. If you give me the first initial of your last name and your first name, I can make a line up here.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. There's our lineup in this morning.
Roz G.
I got Liz S. and then Roz G. right on top of one another, but I did get the both of you. Okay, perfect. This is what we have. Wendy B., Michelle J., Sherry K. B., Don B., Liz S., and Roz G. Wendy B., your 3 minutes start now.
Yeah, hello. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and where it said we had to be free of anger, you know, I don't really identify with being an angry person, you know, so I looked up in the Big Book Dictionary and it said a strong feeling of displeasure. So yes, you know, how often do I feel displeasure, you know, with what's going on around me? You know, people aren't acting how I want. You know, my husband isn't saying the words I want to hear. You know, I probably have the same look of displeasure on my face that my mother had, you know, a look of disapproval. And I also looked up the grouch, you know, one who is habitually irritable, grumbling, complaining. You know, I'm too self-righteous to appear grouchy. You know, I put a smile on my face and I don't complain, but I have all the negative critical thoughts in my head. And I looked up brainstorm and it says fits of rage, violent disturbance of the mind. You know, and I'm picturing having a tantrum. And so I Googled it, and the informal definition is a moment in which one is suddenly unable to think clearly and act sensibly. And I've had plenty of moments, you know, when something has triggered something from my childhood feelings and I overreact to the current situation, I lose all sense of perspective. You know, so the normal man can indulge in these things and then shake them off and go about their day unaffected. But I'm not normal. You know, I need to do a 10 step when anything disturbs my peace of mind. I need God to show me truth in the situation so I can be free of the feelings and feel peace again so I can then become useful again. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. Michelle J., your 3 minutes, and then Sherry KB will come after you.
Good morning, everybody. Michelle J. here from Arkansas. Taking my seat and being very grateful to do so today to all of you. So, like so many others this morning, anger has been an issue my whole life, but it was inverted. I would say I don't have anger. I don't understand anger. And I hear I'm in the same environment as all these other people sharing, you know, horrible environments with people that were rage and perhaps volatile and, you know, being raised in a home that was so doggone scary that one wrong move meant your death, literally. So you had to be perfect and you had to be in control and you certainly couldn't display anger. So inverted, it became fear. It became, I must control my environment. I must do something to protect myself or to change it or to whatever. So then it became depression, because depression was something I could just go somewhere. I could hide out in my mind. It was a horrible place to be. But anger was never available to me. So in program, I'm listening to everyone this morning going, huh. So it's there, and it is there. It's just, it's been coming out in a lot of unhealthy ways. People would say to me, you know, you cannot accept criticism. Well, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Well, no, I couldn't, because I couldn't be wrong, because wrong meant something bad would happen. So I'm learning that failure and being imperfect and all these things, although they are scary in program, I'm learning perfections must go, controlling must go, and anger is starting to come up, but in a way that I can understand it. I can, it's morphing. So I'm not going to say, it's a little hard to grasp sometimes, but I know that God is revealing to me that it's there. It's just hiding, and I need to let it up and let it out and learn how to deal with it the appropriate way, so that I'm not known as a know-it-all or a perfect person who is critical and rude and judgmental. And I didn't know that was happening. And now today, I'm so grateful to see it in reality and to be able to work in a healthy way to become a better person so that I can be of help to others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's see, we got Sherry KB now, and then Dawn will follow Sherry KB. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you always, Melanie, for your service and Team Tuesday. And welcome, newcomers. I love this paragraph because it's so chock full. You know, it says, well, if we were to live, we had to be free of anger. It doesn't say I'm not going to get angry, but I need to be free of it. That's what it's telling me here. That, you know, and I was also raised with, you know, I wasn't allowed to get angry. I was shamed for getting mad. My dad would say, are you getting mad? I go, yeah. And he goes, only dogs got mad. I was so shamed for getting angry. And so I, you know, watched my anger. But inside, it was grumbling. It was, like, furious, and it's all inward, as like somebody else said. But what really jumped out at me today, and I, too, like to look up the words, but what jumped out at me today about grouch, which I obviously had ignored before, which I think is rather funny, part of being a grouch is a fault finder. And don't you know, I might not tell you I'm finding fault with you, but boy, am I taking your inventory. And so that really jumped out at me that the grouch is also somebody who's a fault finder. And I did a lot of internal inventories on people. And then it also says here that, that, you know, that we had to be free of it. So to me, that means I need to be constantly doing 10 steps. And I know that anger is resentment lying in wait, is what it is. That's what I've been told. And about the dubious luxury of normal men, it's even questioning whether it's debatable or uncertain that normal people have a right to get angry. So if they're telling me that normal people, they're questioning whether normal people should have a right to be angry, but for a compulsive overeater like me, it's poison. Yeah, because you know what? Maybe to some people who are not compulsive overeaters, maybe it wouldn't be as bad, but for somebody like me, if I have a buildup of human emotion and I don't deal with that anger, I'm going to be face down in the food eventually. It might take a while, but I will be face down in the food if I don't deal with my anger. And I've also been told that, and without God's help, I can't do that. And, you know, just as a kind of side thing here, when I first listened to this meeting, somebody said grouch was not somebody on Sesame Street, and brainstorm was not that we're going to put our heads together and come up with an idea. So I thank you for that, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. Don B., it's your 3 minutes now, and then Liz S. will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Don B. from Recovered from Southern California. Yeah, I enjoyed reading this paragraph. It starts out, if we were to live. So that tells me that we're talking about a life and death matter here, that this is not to be taken lightly, that we have to pay super, super high attention around when we get angry. And so I was thinking of it like, the poison control or the toxic substances. You know, it's not something I want to mess around with. It's not something that I want to, be marinating in or, have it all around my home, all around me. It's a substance that I want to be super, super careful with. And one that I recognize that there's a certain protocol with that I need to be taking. So when anger is an issue for me, immediately going to the protocol for protection and to deal with it safely. So step 10s, initially the step 4 for cleaning out and clearing out and getting my thinking straight. So that, I can more accurately see why it is that I'm having the anger. I can identify what it is that I'm telling myself, what it is that I'm believing that is simply not true. So oftentimes if I have the anger, this poisonous substance that I'm allowing, around me and in me, it's usually because I'm telling myself something that simply is not true. Such as, I have to be upset over this, or I know better than the higher power the way life is supposed to look right now, and this is not it. You know, when I'm trying to be in charge, be in control of how I think life needs to look, then I tell myself I have every right to be angry. And, I can kind of fan the flames, and that is just simply poison for us, for other people, perhaps. But Not for me, not for a compulsive overeater. We cannot have the dubious luxury. And I looked up dubious, and that is causing doubt, uncertainty, not to be relied on, questionable, of questionable value. So a dubious honor is not an honor at all. So a dubious luxury is really suspect. It's really not a luxury at all. A questionable luxury. And for us compulsive overeaters, it is absolute, for me, it is absolute poison. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Don, Liz S., your turn, and then Roz G.
Hi, it's Liz S., recovered in New Hampshire. And I was thinking about anger and how many years I spent in it, and perhaps really unaware of the damage I was doing around me and the toes I was stepping on. And Bill, of course, speaks about this in step 3. And I was just sitting here thinking about some of the genesis of it, which doesn't really matter. The solution is more important. But I think, frankly, there behind the anger was a tremendous amount of pain, and which doesn't excuse it, but I might as well have worn, one of those nuclear warning, nuclear sign warnings around my neck, which meant, stay away, because if you don't do what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, watch out. And I looked up the word grouch, because I really wasn't quite sure what it meant, and it fits me to the T, sulky, complaining, morose, and showing discontent. And then the word brainstorm can also mean just acting on impulse, which is all of the opposite things that we are trying so not to do as we recover and become, out of self and living God's way and doing what God would have us do and be. But that's the way I lived so much of my life, on impulse and sulky and morose when I didn't get my way instead of your way, or when you did things your way instead of my way. And what I realize now is it never worked. It never worked. And anger never works. It never works. It never gets me a result that satisfies me, ever. So here I understand very well what Bill is telling me or telling us, that I can't afford it. It will always get me in trouble, always. And I don't have to argue the point that I should be allowed to have anger. No, I can't. I am different than the non-alcoholic or the non-compulsive overeater. And just accept that fact and choose the solution and not get into a debate, because it's not worth it. And if I choose a solution, it'll be okay, and it will be okay. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. Roz G., it's your 3 minutes now. And then after you, Roz, we're going to open it up for other people to share on that paragraph, which is paragraph 2, page 66 in your big book. Hi, Roz.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Roz G., compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And, you know, just like a couple of other sharers, I wasn't allowed to feel angry either as a kid. If I got angry about something, sometimes I would get a spanking, or a family member would say to me, don't feel that way. And, you know, I thought it was wrong for me to express emotion or to even have emotion. And when I got into, you know, another 12-step group, a family group, I learned that, you know, I have created with a broad spectrum of emotions. And I'm not just a robot walking around. I have feelings. But the feelings that are described here in the big book of resentment and fear and hurting other people, you know, are the underlying causes of my disease. So I get angry when somebody hurts an animal. I get angry when I hear of children being abused. Those things piss me off. And I think it's okay, but it's not okay for me to sit in the anger. It's like it says, it's poison. So I've learned how to, you know, a few quick little things, you know, God bless her, God change me. God bless her, God change me. That, you know, it's not in the big book, but I mean, it's something that I can, that diverts my thinking. It turns me around. And yes, the 10th step, because, you know, I want, just like the big book says, I want the world to work my way. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. But I'm learning, I'm maturing in this area. And it's okay to be angry, but yes, I have to be free from it quickly. Because otherwise, I'm just headed down the road to the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz. Appreciate that. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 66 of the big book. If you're
hello.
First. Hi, hello.
Leia S.
Is this Raquel?
Yes.
I got Linda R. And then I got Leia S. And then somebody R.
Linda R.
Nancy A. D.
Nancy A. B.
Rachel
and
P.
One more. Rachel P. Let's go with that and see what time does for us after those. Okay, we have Raquel, Leah, Linda, Nancy, and Rachel. Hey, Raquel, good morning.
Well,
it's morning for you.
I
what time
I'm
of day
done
is it? Yeah, you're good.
Hello. Okay, thank you. Hi, Melanie. Hi, all my dear ones there. What a wonderful, wonderful session. And I would like so much to share. And I do have my timer from before. Anger, you know, with all that we're talking about, I'm going to just tip my hat to anger. It kept me alive. Because without the anger turned inside is depression, And boy, I took already all the antidepressants probably that anybody ever thought of or is going to think of in the next 2 decades or so, that or 1 decade that I'll still be alive. Whoa, it never works. Somebody said, really? I wrote down this time because I really want to be able to say these things and hear me saying it. It never works. Really? Boy, did it ever work for me. It kept me alive. The alternative was depression, suicidal depression. Better anger then. But I couldn't live with the anger either. And here God entered my life. Even as a youngster, and alchemized that anger into love and caring to others. But now it's popping up again because fear is behind it and driving it. And I'm scared. I'm really scared. And I love you all and I need you. God alchemized it for me into 35 years of love to children in Israel, in America, Midwest, East Coast, Mother Earth of many schools. But now I'm alone. I'm not teaching. I have the people from program. And if God kept me alive, I sure as heck want to give back a little. And I'm so scared of this old age. Boy, me who worked 4 jobs to raise 4 kids without any financial support, feel myself so weak now. And I'm praying, and I need your prayers with me, that this old age is going to be beautiful because God is sending me people now who need my help out of all this unbelievable experience that my life was built of wandering between Israel, Europe, Holocaust, America, back to Israel. And the people who are coming into my life now from here, program, and mostly from NA, people who conquered alcohol and conquered drugs, and then going to the food, and their eyes just open wide. Oh boy, yes, I'll wrap up. And they say to me, more or less, oh boy, what we had is a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what you're doing with the weighing and the measuring and this. And many times they laugh, and then they say, so tell us, is that really an addiction? Yeah, it can kill. It kills slower, but it kills. Thank you for being there, and I love you, and I'll be with you. You'll be with me in my heart throughout the convention, which I unfortunately can't make. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Amen. I bless.
Okay, so now we have Leah S., and then Linda R. will come in after you. Thank you, Raquel.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is a wonderful morning. Oh, boy. We are reading about anger. Anger is something that I have experienced my entire life. So what did I did people pleasing in order to satisfy that manipulative anger that I was being faced upon. But that's not what the big book is telling me to analyze myself. The big book is telling me there's a solution. And the solution is not the luxury of dwelling in that anger. The luxury is that I have to pray. I had to pray for those people because obviously they had no other way to get rid of their anger. So for me to get rid of my anger, I needed God, who is almighty and is capable of anything and everything. Just go and get rid of give them everything that they want that's making them angry, and bless them, and then this way they won't distribute their anger towards me. And until I finally understood that, I need to get out of this negativity. I got to go into the positivity, because then I can let the sunlight of the Spirit come into my heart. That's another thing. When I get angry, I feel my muscles tense up. Everything tense. It becomes like know. And then when I'm like allowing the sunlight of the spirit, I'm like easygoing and I want to dance. it is a miracle. It truly is a miracle. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. And then Linda R., you're next.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Linda R., recovered in North Carolina, and just so grateful. You know, resentment is the number one offender, and I've learned in the program through my step work that the flip side of resentment is always fear. So I do have, you know, my plan of action each day. For me, being resentful is a Pavlovian response. It's just part of my DNA. I get triggered sometimes from my family of origin when something's happened. Sometimes I get immediate anger. However, because of my program and the work I've done, you know, for many years, I know that God is with me at all times. And when I do get angry, immediately I have the awareness, you know, the three A's, aware, you know, accept and act. So like I have like, you know, I'm very programmed and I'm very structured, thank God, because that's what Linda needs for myself. And God guides and directs me. But what I want to share really about the resentment is that now, because I have 10, 11, and 12, immediately when I do get resentful, and I still do at times, you know, I'm a human being, and there will be days when I will have some anger, and immediately I go right to 10, you know, I'll take an action of some sort, I'll make a phone call, I'll take a walk, I'll do something that's good for me, that I'm directed, you know, my higher power, really, he tells me really what to do. And then I go to the fear and I ask myself, like, where is this fear coming from? And immediately I call it like the visions of my past. I know where it's coming from. So I'm able to not be in my past anymore and get right into the present moment. And then I do what I've learned to do in the program called the turnaround. And when I do the turnaround and I trust infinite God rather than finite me, because God does not want me to be unhappy and he doesn't want me to be stressed. And when I'm angry at another person, I'm a basket case. Then I have to say, what does God want me to be? He wants me to be serene. And then what does he want me to do? So that's the part of the turnaround where I lacked for years. It was really doing something to relieve the resentment and the fear. So I just wanted to share that I had an aha moment. I redo the steps periodically with a fellow just to get a review, so that I can be a more effective sponsor in the program and learn more about the big book and, you know, the application of the steps. And today I was doing it with someone. And I realized, you know, the integration of the steps is vital, and then also in my daily living. So I made this connection with the turnaround that there's something in my life today that I have a resentment towards, and I'm not doing that turnaround with this thing in my daily living. And when I got that awareness, I realized that there's actions I need to take. So I'm sharing that not only in recovery am I working the steps with the resentments and the fears and the turnarounds, I'm applying it in my daily living with other things as well. So thank you for allowing me to share. I'm just so blessed that I have the steps and God in my life and the fellows on the line, and I'm learning so much today from this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda R. Nancy A. B., followed by Rachel P. Nancy A. B., star one, please. Let's move on then to see if we can find Rachel P. Let's go with Rachel P.
Hi, this is Rachel P.
Hey, Rachel P. You want to take 3 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, my name is Rachel P. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. I really like this paragraph. I was actually just texting with a fellow yesterday about this notion that, you know, I feel as though I'm a highly sensitive and emotional person. And it's important for me to express those emotions, understand them, and make sure that I do what I need to do to work through them Otherwise, I'm going to go to the food. And, you know, I see other people who have this dubious luxury. My boyfriend might be an example of one of those people who can seemingly, you know, not confront emotions or avoid topics and not feel deeply. And I think this is kind of a stereotype that women are highly sensitive and emotional, but I think it just depends on personality and experiences. And I just happen to be one of those people who's just really sensitive and really emotional. And one of the reasons why that might be, and as a few others have talked about, is that when I was a child, I didn't let myself feel those emotions. I couldn't, because it wasn't safe. You know, when I was a kid, I was overweight. I started gaining weight when I was like 8 years old, and I internalized that shame, and suddenly it became everything is wrong with me. I'm not enough, and I have to be docile and perfect and get good grades in order to be loved, and I couldn't really act in a way that was congruent with who I was. I couldn't be authentic, and that inauthenticity started from a very young age. And then when I was 14, my mom died, and I cried the day she died. I didn't let myself cry for 4 years about it. And then the remaining 4 years of high school, my dad was verbally and emotionally abusive. And again, I wasn't safe to express my emotions. The one time that I expressed anger toward him, that I fought back, he said the most horrible thing to me. And that was the one time that he put his hands on me. He grabbed my wrist and he shoved me back. So it wasn't safe to be authentic and to express my emotions for so many years, at least 18 years of the first 18 years of my life. And now that I'm in program, I'm finally learning how to be an adult and how to do that and how to really understand what I'm feeling and work through it. And thank God I have the tools and I have the fellowship to do that. You know, I have steps 4 through 9. I have step 10 that I can do on a regular basis, daily basis, and step 11. And I'm just really grateful for this program and that I get to try to live authentically. And I'm still learning, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel P. Hey, I want to cycle back or circle back to see if Nancy AB is available or AD is available to share.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Is it AD or AB?
AD.
D like David.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's your 3 minutes.
Thank you so much for coming back to me, too. I am just so grateful. I've been in program like 30 years, but the big book I'm in right now, working in, didn't have anything highlighted in this paragraph, and I couldn't believe it when I was looking at it. So I'm so grateful for people's input here. I'm really understanding that I am also allergic to anger, and I break out in that grouch and that brainstorm, and it can just cook in the background and sort of spoil my life like a slow toxic burn in the background, and I don't even know that it's there. And so today's reading and what people have been sharing has been amazing, to just bring it up to the front of my mind, notice those kinds of things, and really just turn down all the invitations to be angry. Because if I'm, you know, out on my own and I'm just by myself, I don't tend to have a whole bunch of anger. But the minute I'm around somebody that has some anger or is not cooperating with me, I start to get that grouch and brainstorm. And I build a case like a top shelf lawyer about why I'm right and why they're wrong. And I might get in then to the grouch, being sulky and uncooperative and all of those things. And I never tied it together like this before. So I am just profoundly grateful that people were talking about it in this way this morning, and about taking it to God and just saying, you know, I don't know how to do this different, but the God of my understanding will show me if I just ask for that assistance. So thank you.
That was the end of yours, right? Okay, Nancy.
Yes.
AD, thanks so much. Okay, good. Thank you so much. Hey, you know what? With that in mind, it looks like we have time for at least one more person, if not two, shorter shares. If you'd like to do that, press star 1 and give me your first name, the first initial of your last name.
Judith R.
Bobby T.
Judith R. And what was the other one?
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay. Hey, Judith, you're first.
Thanks, Mel. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Brattleboro, Vermont. In my household, my dad had a corner on the market of anger. And he had so much of it that it just felt like there wasn't room for anybody else to have any. That's the way my little girl mind worked. He was also funny and fun and great in other respects, but when he got angry, it was horrible. And so I developed a tremendous fear of anger that I carried with me throughout my whole life. I even, when I thought about being a therapist, I thought, but if somebody gets angry at me, I'll run out of the room crying, so I can't be a therapist. So I allowed it. Oh, God, if I'd had the tenth step and all the steps back then. So my own anger is, I was so grateful to hear what everybody said today. Just whoever said to be free from anger, not that we don't ever get angry, but that we can still be free from it, is a great gift. And thank God for the 10th step. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Mel.
Thanks so much, Judith R. Patty T.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service, and thank everybody for these wonderful shares today. You know, on Saturday, I got angry with a group of people, and I didn't take it out on them. I actually felt it, and it was an adrenaline rush of not a very good kind. But that very feeling, the manifestation of that physical anger, is the thing that terrified me as a child and as a young woman and as a middle-aged woman and now getting senior. You know, that my anger, because I never expressed it or worked through it, would manifest in a rage, a violent rage, because I witnessed and was the recipient of that a lot in my life. And, you know, I got home and I realized right away, okay, you're angry and you have to do something about this. And what is it to do? I do a 10th step, right? But I didn't want to yet, because I like to chew on the anger to see how much of that resentment marrow I can get out of that bone. So what happened was my higher power woke me up in the middle of the night with a really clear message as soon as I opened my eyes: go do your 10th step. Because just like somebody else said today, I would eventually eat over this. And I did it. And you guys, you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing. And then I told my sponsor. And then I opened up. And you know what? I don't have to live with this today. And I get to pray for those people. And I also get to have compassion for myself, because they are like me. They are just other sick people, unconscious that they are stepping on somebody's toes, which I have been most of my life. Oh, my God, I love this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Well, you know what? That brings us up to the top of the hour. And sometimes those minute and a half are kind of awkward to get somebody to share and get off on time. So I'm just going to afford that time to getting more newcomers' names and sponsor names, if you all don't mind. And what I'd like to do then now is to thank everyone that was in service today and close, as we always do in the traditional way, by asking Kara L. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer before we go into the last part of our unrecorded meeting. Hi, Kara. Thanks so much.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. until then.